Okay, we're continuing our study of the sealed book. Last week we finished on verse 30. And we should be able to finish the book today just fine. First verse 30 of the words of Moroni in the first book. So there's Is there any comment before we start? Okay, let's just go ahead. We're going to start on verse 30, 31 then. So he's been, well, we'll just, oh, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong.
Page 24.
I was in the wrong book. Verse 31, we're on page 24.
I was kind of. One comment before we start.
Okay.
Lehi, having read what we did in verse 29 about him being familiar with the languages through of the Phoenicians and Egyptians and Chaldeans, and you know, what makes me wonder about how many of those were carried by the people when they came in. And a lot of the artifacts that are found that they couldn't read, you know, the men of knowledge couldn't read, you know, some of these artifacts that are found in the United States, for example, you know, because it looked like ancient Phoenician. And that all makes sense now that we have this information. You know, they described that on, I think, the Discovery Channel is finding some of these artifacts that
right.
Old Hebrew Phoenician.
And they always call it Phoenician, but it's the old Hebrew language. The tribe of Dan went and mixed in with Sidon, city of Sidon in Phoenicia, and became shippers and travelers. They're famous for their shipping. But I think they brought the language to the Phoenicians. And I think the reason they always call it Phoenician, I think, is sort of an anti-Semitic, not wanting to, you know, attribute the invention of everything to the Jews, like language and letters and all of that. One thing it does say in the book of Mosiah is that he taught his four sons, Benjamin taught his, Mosiah taught his four sons to read the Egyptian, because that was not generally known, but they could read the brass plates. He wanted to make sure the language wasn't lost.
Right.
And I've read things from people checking with the Hopi and other modern tribes who can still read some of the Egyptian.
That's interesting.
They were explaining how to pronounce, anyway, how to pronounce some of the words. Okay, let's start. Steve, how about you? Would you like to start with verse 31?
I'll be glad to. Lehi had been commissioned by the Lord to protect the record of Moses and directed to cross the great water soon after returning from Babylon. When in the early days of the reign of Mattaniah, which had been given the name of Zedekiah, he was sent to Gemara, son of Hilkiah, to Nebuchadnezzar with a message from the king of Judah. It was at this time that Jeremiah the prophet sent to the care of Elisha, that is Lehi, a letter to the chief elders of Judah and Jerusalem who were exiled in the land of Babylon.
Okay. 31.
And it came to pass, therefore, that this record of Moses was again sealed by Shephan, the father of Lehi, after the order of Josiah, the king of Judah, for the posterity of Israel and his seed, as set forth in the record of Lehi. For in so much that his writings were hidden by him and his brethren in a cave that lay between the mountainous plain of Mara, east of Sidon, and which was later required of Lehi to bring with him to this land of promise.
Okay, so it mentions Sidon right there. You know, the Nephites had a river called Sidon. It's named after the old country. Just very common practice. 32. But it came to pass when Lehi was commissioned that when he was overpowered by the Spirit of the Lord, he was shown the sealed book of Moses. Oh, I read this just this morning again. I missed that. Lehi was shown the sealed book of Moses, which he would have to protect, that he was required to read its pages. It says his pages, but its pages. Thus, coming to understand that which his father Shaphan had read years before to King Josiah concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, when he rent his garments before the prophecies described by the great Moses, which were to occur in all ages until the coming of the Messiah, and after him to the consummation of the fullness of times. Thus, with the other records on the brass plates, from the beginning to Jeremiah, they were required by the Lord that Lehi should bring them from Jerusalem to this land of promise. So Lehi had that vision of what was coming, and in that vision, he partly saw that he'd be bringing the sealed book of Moses to the new world, to the land of promise.
Number 33. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, which means that we know that this book, the sealed book of Moses section anyway, got brought from Jerusalem to America, because it's part of the sealed book that the Book of Mormon came from. So we know all of that traveled.
Absolutely.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
33. Nevertheless, over time, the very book of the law, except for the sealed book of Moses' prophecies, had been transcribed in many brass books with a wise purpose of the Lord for the days of King Benjamin, which were distributed among the priests of the people of the Nephite nation, that they might remember the law of the Lord and might teach the people to keep themselves holy before the heavens.
For this reason, number 34, for this reason, it was that my father Mormon summed up among the two books of Moses only the one that had been sealed and which had never been revealed to the children of the covenant because of their iniquities. In turn, only those who truly believed and sought to know the mysteries of God had received him, received this knowledge. However, it was forbidden to divulge.
Okay, I've got a comment there that this clarifies to me something that has been confusing in the Bible, The Bible says, when you read about Josiah in Kings and Chronicles, it says that he found the book of the law, the book of the law of Moses, the book. Well, we're used to calling it the five books of Moses. And I didn't know if he found the book of Deuteronomy or all five. Well, the Jews refer to the whole five as the Torah. The Torah. It's one book, the Torah, with five chapters. They consider it five chapters in one book. Where now we in our Bible don't have it sectioned off as one book. This makes it clear. The beginning of 34 says, for this reason, my father summed up among the two books of Moses. He's talking about the one book is the Torah, which we call the five books of Moses. Right. And the second one is the sealed book that we're reading a summary of now. By the way, it makes it clear. We're just reading a summary here. We're going to read when we get to Moses. It's just a summary. He's not even telling us the whole thing. And in the next version of the sealed book, I believe we're going to get more of the book of Moses revealed. Right now, they just give us line upon line. So anyway, just that simple thing saying the two books of Moses only the one that had been sealed. See, one has been sealed and one isn't. So that shows how
old.
An important point is clarified that we could skip over easily and not notice. Anyway, I noticed only because I've had that question in my mind. I've even published that I thought it referred to the book of Deuteronomy, and I won't do that anymore. It's the Torah. Okay, that's all. Oh, so I'm on the next one. 35, I'll read 35 and 6. And now that record, which in ancient times had been sealed by the great prophet Moses, is summed up in these sealed plates of Mormon to be, and summed up, I believe, means it is abbreviated. It's like a summary. It's the same as the word summary. It's not totally translated. Anyway, the prophet Moses book is summed up in these sealed plates of Mormon to be revealed only at the appointed time of the Lord. In addition to the sealed book of Moses, there is the record of the Acts of the Three Nephites written by Jonah, one of the sons of Nephi, who had been chosen by Jesus to be the chief disciple of the 12 he called. And by the way, just I'm going to comment on that before we even finish. That's, I believe, of course, true. Jonah is the chief apostle, but he's translated and gone. So Amos is the son of Nephi, who is given the records and continues on as the prophet to the church. After Nephi, it's Amos. So that's just a little detail. Anyway, written by Jonah, one of the sons of Nephi, chief disciple. Also, there's a summary of the prophecies of Samuel the Lamanite, which were fulfilled among my people, written by Nephi at the command of Jesus for the purpose of reminding the people of the covenant in the last days before the coming of the Lord into his temple. So that tells us what's coming. Oh, there's going to be more that Steve will read about another book that's going to be in the sealed, hopefully, that we're going to get to see pretty soon.
37. Lastly, one third of the record of the revelations of John, written by the three Nephites, for inasmuch that they saw these things revealed by an apostle of the Lord, whose name was John, when they were caught up and transfigured before the throne of God, where shown unto them all things unspeakable from the mysteries of heaven. But because of the commandment which they received in heaven to keep this knowledge sealed, that they did not report it because they ministered among all the inhabited earth, but recorded the things which they saw and heard to be revealed when finally these things began to occur again among the sons of men.
You know, throughout all of this, I keep coming back to how important it was for God to keep this record sealed until the time that, you know, the Lord says, now we're going to bring it out. When you look at the wickedness that is around us now, and you wonder, and this book has made me understand how so much of the Lord's intent was lost. So we needed a reminder. We needed to know that the Lord's information is valuable, wanted, needed, and from God at this time. Otherwise, there'd be no one left to save in this world.
And the Lord knew, I mean, a lot of what's in this book is about high priests. It's going to be in Moses, and how to do the United Order is in Nephites. And the Lord knew ahead that the LDS church and the Missouri churches were not going to be able to have a prophet to bring this forth, and that it would be needed. And so I just love his foreknowledge, because he saves all these things, and when we need it, it comes forth so we can prepare for the second coming. Mm-hmm.
38. Lastly, it was left for me, Moroni, to make a record of the ancient inhabitants who here on this earth came before us and who were dispersed in the course of the fall of the great tower at the time when the Lord confounded the language of the people in the days of Nimrod, which are recorded in the record of the 24 plagues found by the people of Limhi, among which I gathered a part with the plates that were selected by my father in relation to the record of this people, which I called the people of Jared. For how much I briefly summarized his history as the book of Ether, who had been the last Jaredite prophet who existed on the face of the earth.
Now, I picked up something there that I've never noticed before. I thought there's two things on those 24 plates. One is the book of Ether, and the other is the vision of the brother of Jared. I thought he translated the whole book of Ether. I mean, you know, well, he does say he skips the part. He doesn't go through the Adam and Eve course, and maybe that is what he's referring to. But here he says that he only briefly summarized what was on those plates about the people of Ether, of the Jaredites. Now that's about, I think in the Book of Mormon, it's something like 30 pages. It's amazing how much was on those plates, is what I'm saying. If he only did part of 24 plates and gave us the whole book of Ether and then the whole vision of the brother of Jared, it's just amazing how much they had on those plates. Are you looking up how many pages?
And there's it's about 2/3 of the plate still sealed though, right? Something
about,
like that?
About half. Pages? Now it's 2/3 of them were sealed. Now a sixth of them, I would say, are unsealed. So I'd say now half of them. Oh, slightly over half. When I look, if you look at that picture on my When I Witnessed the Book page, you can still see the part that's sealed. And it's just slightly over half.
Yeah.
To see 42 were unsealed. That's quite a few.
It's about 35 pages.
Yeah, she just looked it up. Book of Ether's 35 pages of the Book of Mormon. That's a brief summary of what is only on part of those 24 plates.
Wow.
Is this language stuff is amazing. Anyway, I'm just always impressed by that.
Yeah, me too. Your turn.
Okay, my turn. Verse 39. The other part, so part of what's on those plates is the book of Ether. The other part, which regards the writings of the brother of Jared, which also appear in these 24 plaques or plates, selected by my father Mormon. Oh, selected. Oh, okay. Had originally been made similarly to Nephite writing in which one can read more than one word per character, which allows to occupy the full space of the place. However, made according to Jaredite writing. It was then that I, Moroni, compiled the remainder of these plates in Nephite writing, using them to describe the rest of the report in the same pattern to which the Lord commanded it to be clustered to the sealed records of my father. However, I did it with a mixture of letters, both Nephite and Jaredite. So that's that reminds me of Sir Isaac Newton. When he wrote papers, he would just throw in Greek and Latin right in line with the English, assuming that everybody's been educated in schools. Everybody learned Greek and Latin if they went to school at all, you know, in the real schools.
Right.
We've lost that.
Well, now he's an interesting guy too, from some other perspectives, as far as researching end of times prophecy.
Newton, yes,
was a big
Oh, I've got his book. I actually had a paper published in the Quarterly Journal of the Royal Astronomical Society of England, where somebody over there was mean-mouthing Newton, and I had to defend him.
Oh, good.
He wrote more on chronology than, he wrote a book called The Chronology of Ancient Kingdoms Amended. He wrote he figured out the date of the crucifixion of Christ. Anyway, yeah, he wrote an awful lot on biblical chronology. He was amazing.
All right, am I up? Are we on 40?
Yes.
So I did according to what the Lord showed me to remain some symbologies of his holy and sacred order among all the writings of this book, that in the latter days of times will serve as signs to understand the power of that faith that I, Moroni, would like to show the world, but which will only be possible according to the decrees of the heavens, to be revealed only after the coming of Christ in his temple, when finally men exercise their faith equal to that of the brother of Jared. Do you get the feeling when you hear that there's a lot more to that than you can understand?
Yes, yes. When finally they do. And see, and this tells you the order of things. See, the rest of the prophecy will come after the coming of Christ to his temple. And they finally, yes, anyway, that word finally, I think, is the operative word there. It's like the Lord is so patient with us. Until we finally have, but the Book of Mormon says that it'll only be revealed when the people have the faith of the brother Jared. And then it says, yes, brother Jared had more faith than anybody so far. You say, wow, that's setting the bar pretty high.
Yeah,
but the bar is set high for Zion. But this book repeats that about having the faith like the brother Jared several times. I bet it's four or five times
at least
throughout the book.
I would love to see the description of the faith of Jared as explained through Christ.
Well, it's good enough that the Book of Mormon says that the Lord was required, that he could not withhold himself from the vision of Jared, that the veil was rent by Jared, not by the Lord saying, oh, I think maybe it's okay if I show a finger to this guy. It's the Lord says, what? You can see my finger?
yeah.
You know, and then it says that his faith was sufficient that the Lord could not withhold himself. Right. That's a pretty good description right there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Also, it says many times in the book that it's the desire of the individual person to want to know these things, want to come. It's not just, oh, today I got up and I think I ought to know this. It's a way we live our life. It's the desire from our heart that we want to be as close to God as we can get, that he's important to us. And we are, in a way, when we're doing that, we're asking for those mysteries. We're asking for those answers, which means when we get those, the veil has to open.
And we're really pleading. We're usually fasting, praying. When the brother Jared was up on the mountain, I mean, he had, look at that. He had the stones in his hands, and he prays and says, and he had, what was the word? Cut them out of the mountain. They're not just pebbles he found. He had...
He worked hard to get them?
Well, he had cut them out. There's the word that we use for something like excavated. And I think they were quartz crystals that he found.
Mined them, yeah.
He had mined them. There's a better word that none of us remember. And anyway, he said, Lord, I know you can do this. He didn't say, well, gee, you know, I feel bad in asking. He said, no, I know you can do this. Just touch them and they'll light up. I mean, that's another example.
Yeah, it is.
If you want to know the kind of faith he had, it's like, anyway, so 41.
I'm going to do 41 and 42.
Okay.
Notwithstanding, Although the writing of this book, which bears the name of the brother of Jared, being the book of Moran Coomer?
Moran Coomer.
Should remain sealed, together with the rest of the revelations of John in the sight of the seer, when these things begin to occur, after the first seals are opened. 42. Being that among those few things that will be drawn from the first seal step, before being every book put together in a later period of time, will be sufficient to awaken the faith in the followers of Christ, who will proceed from this great and marvelous work that will take place when these things begin to take place among the covenant people in the fullness of times, that the Lord may stretch forth his hand for the last time, that he may redeem his people that are of the house of Israel.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, wow. again, as he writes this, he knows that the first ones that come forth will be in a book, the book we're holding in our hands, 42, that the first things drawn from the first set, sealed set, before becoming every book put together in a later period. So what we can expect in the later period is that the 42 plates will all be together in one book. So he's saying before all 42 plates are together in one book, that somewhere it said that they will be into one.
Sufficient to awaken the faith.
Yeah, I wanted to see where it says it's going to be in one book. Before the in the later will be sufficient to awaken, we will receive from the great marvelous work again. Well, I would have sworn it said somewhere in there that they will be in one book before they're all put together in several books.
Oh, I don't know about being several books.
Well, anyway, I don't see it anymore. I thought maybe I was just showing that. Anyway, he knew that it's all through the book. I shouldn't be surprised. In the book, it says that the first books will come forth, and then when we show a little more faith, the rest of them will come forth.
Yeah, that's what he's saying here, I think. It's
just, that's what he's saying here. So he is saying that they will be all together. In other words, the next...
But it also says that the little bit that we have in this book is going to be sufficient to awaken the faith.
Right, to get us started.
Get us started.
Get us off the ground. All righty, 43. It will happen then that the Book of Mormon will be, as prophesied by the prophets, opened in three periods of time, to begin with the arrival of the time of the end, and that's Joseph Smith, when then the prince of darkness was ruling the earth in those days, but will have no power over this land of promise, and at long that time he didn't so much, that's why we had the church start. So that there will be on earth the opening of the first determined time, and the light shine in the darkness forever upon the sons of men, and from there on many will seek the true knowledge. And oh yeah, now I'm Mr. Calendar guy. I'm supposed to understand.
Yeah, I'm wondering what you're going to have to say about this.
Yeah, let me read the last two here, if I might. And so this is quoting the book of Daniel. The very end of the book of Daniel talks about these very numbers and what's going on. And everybody says, well, those are referring to years and not days. It's just the last few verses in the book of Daniel. And so now we got to read the context of this. The context is what I just said. And that is the verse 43 is talking about there's going to be three periods of time. It doesn't go through all three here because he's summarizing, but the three are: one is in the days of Joseph Smith, the unsealed part comes first. Then comes actually the two parts of in a way, but it's the part that Mauricio was doing. Those 42 plates will be together in one book, and it's kind of counted as one time. And then the third time is the sealed portion that's the Savior. That's what we've just reviewed. So there were three parts to the plates. And there wasn't really a division between the first 19 of the 42 plates that comprise the book we're reading. So with that in mind, he says they're coming forth at this time. And then he says 44, and having passed 1,290 days. Now that is 3.5 years of three, if you multiply 360 times 3.5.
Multiply it?
Yeah, get your, you want to get your little calculator and see if I'm saying that right. This is what people, I've got one on my, I got one on my phone too. Three, do 360 times 3.5. I'll do the same thing because 2.5
years. 1,260.
Okay, now this is 1,290.
Okay.
So that's an important difference. It's not 360 times 3.5. Yeah, 1,260.
Okay, I got the 1,260 too.
Yeah. Okay, but this is 1290, so I'm glad we checked that because I was not correct. Nevertheless, it's usually, they say a prophetic year is 360 days. And anyway, so they're talking about 1,290 days, so it's about 3.5 years. Since the continual sacrifice was removed before the altar.
Now,
then, as regards the remnant of darkness, a light from distant lands will shine from afar on the holy people of God with the opening of the first seal. Okay, so that really does sound like, okay, now we read it in context. It is coming. It sounds like whatever he's counting, this 1,290 days, is from the time of the opening of the first seal.
2007?
It was 2019 when they actually opened the seal. I think it was March of 2019. 2018. Book came out in 2019. It was when Joseph F. went and the eight witnesses went to Brazil. I believe that's March of 2018. That is when the seal was opened on the book. And they're saying that that is after having passed 1,280 days since the continual sacrifice was removed before the altar. Now that has always been understood to refer to the when the sacrifice at the Temple of Jerusalem stopped in AD 70. And so I have no idea how to count that. I've never published anything on this.
March 4th, 2018.
Yeah, March 4th, 2018 is when this was when they were unsealed. I should look at this and pray to understand this and write an article on it if I get an answer.
2018.
But anyway, it says that when the 1,290 days, so that is some kind of counting, and it sounds like it's all the way from way back when the continual sacrifice stopped in 1870, then a light from distant lands will shine afar on the holy people. That is, he said a couple of times, it's distant lands. Brazil is different from the Utah church, the Missouri church, and the Jerusalem church.
Right.
It's just distant. And that'll be with the opening of the first seal. And then, go ahead, see.
I'm wondering, because you probably know and I don't, and it's a good chance to find out. The offerings stopped. Now, was that at the temple or was that sometime?
In AD 70, the priests were, I was on the first day of the priest cycle in the first royal family of Jehoiabib is the first family of the priest cycle. They're on the Sunday, which started the Saturday is the Sunday, and they were doing the offerings in the temple, and I have the date of that on my chronology. And they refused to leave just because the Romans were coming. So the Romans came in and massacred them as they were doing the temple oblation, temple offerings. And it was on a hugely important date. It's like I said, it's sacred on many calendars. But on the priest cycle, it was the first day of the priest cycle. And it's a Sunday. And it's the day of burning on the Jubilee calendar. It's a definite day to start counting from. But that's AD 70. And how you get 1,290 units. Now, this says days. I need to research this and come up with what it's telling us. But something, a long period of 1,290 days goes from that until March 4th. And I've got to look up that date, 2018.
So we're going backwards from 2008.
Yes, it's because it's saying it's passed. It's saying after having passed 1,290 days from the continual sacrifice. So from AD 70, it's what I'm understanding right now. I reserve the right to change this because I have. But from that time, for quite a while, until the opening of the seal, and now look what happens at the opening of the seal.
Yeah.
With the opening of the first seal, and a period of appointed times will begin. Now, that's what all my writings are about, and what 3.5 years is, and it's usually cycles of Mercury. Where many will be cleansed and whitened and approved, but the wicked will certainly continue to act wickedly, and none of them will understand. So I might be in that group still.
No, you're not.
Okay, I'm not. But the insightful will understand. So I'll pray to be insightful and understand. Not. I'll try to pray to be in that group.
That's what we are becoming, is insightful.
Yes.
So there's a period of times that will begin. Now, the next verse is going to tell us more about when that period of time is going to end. Blessed are those who remain faithful. So it's okay to be faithful at the start, but who can remain faithful until the arrival of the 1,335 days when the third and last book is opened by our Lord, our advocate together with the Father, yea, Jesus Christ, amen. So it sounds like that the opening of the seal, the opening of the seals was the beginning of a period of three times. And there's that time, and then there's the coming forth of the partial records. Well, there's the opening of the first seal, and then there's three. There's the opening of the first seal, then there's the opening of the second part that has the book of John and revelations of Samuel the Lamanite, etc. The translation of that. And then it says it'll be the 1,335 days until the Savior opens the last part of the book. So I don't know that if that's supposed to give us an idea, it's an extra 45 days. So if we wanted to figure out what 45 days is compared to all those years, I don't know. Short answer is this needs to be researched because they're trying to tell us something.
Yes.
I think we ought to read the end of the book of Daniel too. Go.
All right, but I was just thinking that if we take from March of 2018 and go forward now.
To 1335.
Go forward.
1290. No.
No, 1335 days after that. That's another possible interpretation.
1335 days. And then the last will be so.
So that's about 3.5 years, a little more than 3.5 years.
Okay.
After March of 18, so March of 19, March of 20, March 21. So it's like October, November of 22, if you counted days as days.
Yeah. And so it could be right around this time. That's but one thought I had.
Okay. And then, okay. So let's go with, can I jump in?
Yeah.
So let's go with her thought that days actually means days. Okay. Then go back to the last one. Then what would 1290 days, which is another 3.5 years, be before March of 2018? Yes. So go back to March 2017, 2016, 2015, and it's around September of going a half. It's around September of 2014, and I'll tell you one thing that happened.
We lost the priesthood.
Yeah, 2014, September of 2014 is when Denver Snuffer stated that. So this is not for those watching. Denver Snuffer, whom I believe is David the Servant, and is in Utah. And Mauricio's revelation last spring said that the servant of David the Servant is in Utah. And I think he's the only candidate to be. That's when he announced that starting in September of 2014, we are to start being rebaptized and start being gathered for a building of a temple somewhere in the Rocky Mountains, which Mauricio is not doing. He doesn't. They're parallel efforts. They're not competing efforts, I believe. That's very close to that. And he had a revelation that said that the LDS church had been cut off. And so maybe the ending of the temple oblation is in fact referring to when the LDS church was cut off and no longer run by the priesthood. So anyway, this it merits some research.
That's interesting.
Run by the priesthood in a long time, I think.
Well, yeah, but that was when it was officially. When I say officially, I will say what that means. That means in the LDS church, if someone was ordained to be at least a priest in the Aaronic priesthood, before April of 2014, that is considered good. And by the way, the angel Moroni told Mauricio the same thing. Anybody baptized, he didn't give a cutoff date of 2014. He said, if someone's baptized in the LDS church, it's good. It doesn't have to be done again because they did have the priesthood. Denver was given, David the servant, Denver Snuffer, was given the same information up until April. But in Denver's group, if anybody, a new person, a young youth growing up, is to be ordained to the priesthood, the ordination of the LDS church is no longer after April of 2014, no longer valid. It has to be done again by someone actually having the priesthood.
Yeah, well, according to that, I was after that too.
But you just got baptized by that.
I know, but I'm just thinking. I know that, but when I came in 2016, they didn't know any of this out here. They don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a good thing. Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So you had to be rebaptized.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if Moroni has, see, Moroni told that to Mauricio way before 2014. It's back in 2011 or something, when he said the LDS church was still good. That's a really good point. That's a really good point that I will pick up with Mauricio. Because Denver is saying there's a little difference. So Denver's saying there is a cutoff date where it has to be done again. And I don't think Mauricio's ever taught that.
It's interesting.
And he might just be quoting what Moroni said before. So anyway, there's much to be...
I have the book of Daniel.
Okay.
And the last five paragraphs are very, very interesting.
Okay.
So Daniel, the last chapter 12, Daniel 12, verses 8 through 13. Verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And all of Daniel talks about mostly of revelations too, right?
Right.
The sealed understanding. Verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end, till the time of the end. Verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. 13. But go thou thy way until the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days.
Yeah, he shall stand in his lot.
Left on the righteous side or the wicked side?
No. Daniel, I mean, I realize we're recording this for everybody. Daniel will stand in his right, correct place in the last days. And this prophecy has to do with Daniel standing in his right place. And now Mauricio is standing in that right place.
But the numbers are the same.
The numbers are the same. The words are the same. They're understood by the right. It's a quote. The sealed book is quoting this passage.
Yeah.
But it explains nobody knows what it's really counting between. And Daniel didn't know what it's counting between. Daniel said, would you explain this to me? I have no clue what's going on. And the first verse she read said, no, I won't. We're sealing it up. And it's for the last days. And it's none of your business now, anyway. But in the last days, you will stand in your lot, and you'll understand this.
His lot was a priest and a prophet.
Yes. I'm thinking you all know what I'm talking about, but I don't really want to say out loud.
Yeah.
But the sealed book adds a little bit, and it tells you that the 1290 takes you to when the book was unsealed, and that the 1335, the extra 45 days, takes you to when the Savior comes to his temple and unseals the rest of it.
Yes.
It's like the unsealing of the first part and the unsealing of the rest. It's either 45 days, the difference, or it's 1335. We don't know. There's still some stuff to be worked out, but we are told what happens at the end of the 1290. What happens at the end of the 1335? It's the unsealing of the first. So it's huge. It's a huge explanation of a prophecy in Daniel, which even Daniel did not understand.
I have goosebumps.
It's awesome stuff.
Yeah. Makes you just want to.
Well, I feel look. I'm afraid to know if I'm supposed to. I can only do stuff that I'm told to do. I can't just go out and figure out anything I want. Just like Daniel couldn't. Daniel could spend a long time saying he couldn't. It wouldn't have worked for him to say, I'm going to figure this out. Because the angel saying, no, you don't actually have a chance of figuring this out, you know. And neither do I unless the Lord shows me stuff. But when he shows me, then it's wonderful. And most of what I've gotten on sealed record is sacred calendars is that way.
I just think that's amazing. Because I didn't get any of that reading it the first several.
Well, you had to know times. Daniel. When I first read it, I just jumping out of my chair until I realized I still didn't understand anything. So I've never, but I should have, I'll tell you two papers that I should write. I'll put this on the message here. If I can be shown it, I'm asking to be able to write. One is to explain what that means. The other is all that we just read today about Shafan, Lehi's father, and the hidden record and the days. I have the exact dates of Josiah. I have the date that the law, the book of the law was read. It's a mystery kind of in the Bible that Josiah is renting his clothes and saying, this is a disaster, because all you're shown is that they had not been keeping Passover. And he reads the book and says, oh my goodness, we got to keep these rules. And so he keeps tabernacles, which is in the fall. He does that first and reads the book of the law to the people on that day, as the book of the law says should be read on that day. And then in the next spring, I think it's when he's 18 years old, he keeps the feast of Passover. And apparently it's the first time they've kept it in a long time, like long time. And I just thought that was what he was tearing his hair about, you know, saying, wow, this is terrible. We haven't been obeying the law. But you read the sealed book, as we just did today, and it says, and by the way, because they haven't kept the law, they're going to be destroyed. And Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in and they're going to go into bondage. That's why he's tearing his hair.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yep.
I didn't know that part of the deal, you know, and that was in the sealed portion. And so we didn't get it in the Bible. So that explains why he was so upset. And so let me just add a little more. I think because we're not going to go on thing today. And let me just add a little more and then we probably have a long enough time on our meeting.
We're good. We're still recording.
I know, but I thought it shows how long we've gone. But anyway, just a little bit more. What was I going to say? Shafan, Josiah read the law. They hadn't been obeying it. Well, anyway, the other paper, it'll come back in a sec, but the other paper I need to write is explaining exactly when all of this happened and what the years are, because there's been huge controversy over this. And I mentioned it once before in one of our earlier meetings, that it appears to me that there were two men named Zedekiah, and that the writers of the Book of Mormon didn't know that. The writers of the Bible, if they knew it, they hid it because they didn't want to confuse people. So they used different names. But Nephi didn't know. Anyway, some of the people, one of the witnesses, Bob Moore, one of the first witnesses of the sealed book, left, not only because it seems like it quotes the Book of Enoch later, but because of this Shafan thing. He said, you can tell what it says can't be right because of the Bible. Well, it turns out it's a tricky problem. And it's worth another paper now. I've written one paper explaining what's in the Bible. I need another one that explains how this explains even more. So that's two things I ought to do.
Awesome book. This sealed book of Moroni. But
a lot of information in the words of Moroni.
Yeah.
Before I stop the recording, I wanted to say that to those who are watching our video later, and they get a chance to, that's why we record it, is so other people can watch it. I just want to say that we have read this book several times. All of us here have read this book several times. And for myself personally, as I started to read this, this first chapter, which is the words of Moroni, I really didn't get much information out of. My mind was kind of closed. So what I want to say is, coming back after reading this several times and going with it, going over it with others, has tremendously opened my understanding of this book and the rest of it. So, because we've already done the Acts of Nephi. And so those of you who may pick up this book and read it, don't be discouraged that you aren't understanding some of these things that we're pulling out. You need to go back or re-listen to this recording, and you will get more understanding out of it, because the Lord wants you to know these things.
Thank you. Excellent point.
Amen.
And let me add what Mauricio told me, which I don't think is confidential, but it won't be now. But he said the name of the book, the Sealed Book of Mormon, he said it's not named the book that used to be sealed. It's called the Sealed Book of Mormon. And he said the reason it is, it has a double meaning. Yes, it used to be sealed, but it's still sealed. That's the secret, he said. It's still sealed. And so a lot of people will read this, and I know several friends who are familiar with problems in the LDS church. They're familiar with a lot, and they've read it and said, oh, nothing new here. It's just a rehash of old stuff, obviously just faked by somebody that wasn't very inventive. And they thought it was kind of boring. It was still sealed to them. So every time we read this, I mean, I read the whole thing this morning again and last night. And when I come here, and those very verses at the end, that was new to me again this morning. Now I feel I have something I can sink my teeth into to try to pray and find out what it means. Anyway, I'm just saying it's like an onion being peeled layer by layer. Mm-hmm. And even I thought I was past it and was unsealed before. And now today, it's line upon line. So as you read it, every time you'll get new things. And if you are accepting and believing, if you question, let me comment on questioning. There's two, I'm seeing this because I question, I'm a scientist. I question things. But there's two kinds to me. The one is really wanting to know. It's like, hey, the Bible says this and this says this in the Book of Mormon. And they're all kind of different. But I believe in God. I believe they're all inspired. So help me to understand. The question of, please show me how these all fit together. There's another kind of questioning where you're actually hoping. One of my daughters actually said this to me this week. She phoned me and said, she knows I'm into all of this stuff, and she's true blue LDS. And she said, I hope it's not true. That's so telling. I wanted to tell her it wasn't the time, but I'm going to tell her, never hope something is not true. It either is true or it's not. And all you'll do by hoping it's not true is close your mind and shut yourself off to the Spirit. So the bad kind of questioning is, aha, I found a mistake. I found a contradiction. I'm going to throw out the whole thing. No, the beginning of the Book of Mormon says on the front page, if there are mistakes, they're the mistakes of men. And don't throw out the things of God because they're done by a human. I know several mistakes in the Book of Mormon. I know several mistakes in the sealed book. They never said they were perfect. And now I see the time, and it is time to close. They never said they're perfect. They're done by men. They are inspired. But they all have mistakes, and we're supposed to know that they're true and ask to understand everything as best we can. So that's my closing statement there too. All righty, I think it's time to close. We've been an hour
Steve?
And a half for our whole meeting.
Steve?
Yes, sir.
Could you give a closing prayer, please?
I would be glad to.
Let's stop the recording. Usually we stop it before the end.